Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Before I get started, we've got a bit of a special announcement to make this morning. And that is that in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be starting youth ministry here in Scarborough. And that's pretty cool. So Christine and I met with a few of our young adults this week, and we kind of thrashed out some ideas and some thoughts, and we're trying to get some logistics together. But I'm just excited because it's another step forward for us as a church. One of the mandates of our church, or one of the cultures of our church, is we are about the generations. And this is one of the purposeful ways that we are about the generations, the next generation, the ones to come. And this is a very significant way that we can see the kingdom of God expand, extend, and be what it's called to be. Do you know, if we don't pass on the baton, we are one generation away from the church being extinct. That's quite a big deal. If we don't pass the baton on, there is no next generation. There is no church in the next year. So it's really important that we should dive in. So if you're interested in getting involved in youth, or if you want more details on that, some of our guys are going to be at the info station at the end of this service. And hey, guys, find out, dig in, dive in. If you want to just, maybe you'd like to just pray for it. That'd be good. We need people to pray for youth ministry. And I just encourage you, chuck it on social media if you like. No, maybe don't. Just wait. We'll do that when it comes. Hashtag Nations Youth Scarborough. Pretty cool. It's going to happen, and I'm looking forward to that. And, that kind of brings me to a bit of a thought, and that's actually what I've been speaking on this morning is social media. A little bit of a different topic. And, we'll get into it. Ash, awesome. Thank you very much. And really appreciate it. Don't we love our worship team? They do a great job. Thank you. So much of we now live in society has been heavily impacted by social media. If you don't know it, if you've maybe had your head in the sand for the last 20 years, currently in 2017, there were 16 million Australians had a Facebook account, which I was a bit surprised by that. By that statistic, but social media started out in about 1988, and it actually began with just bloggers who were just throwing their opinions out there and so forth. And of course, 20 years later, we saw the rise of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all these different places and so forth. And I don't pretend to be an expert on social media. To be honest, I'm a bit of a reluctant social media user. My social media use usually results in my wife saying to me on a Friday night, hey, you better put something on for the weekend in time. But, or if it's not that, it's like, hey, you need to log on to Facebook and like my post. Because if you like my post, then other people are going to like it. I'm giving away family secrets now. I didn't think you did. But so much of the world that we live in now is dominated by social media. The way that we see news now. We used to wait for the 6 p.m. news, or we would wait for tomorrow's newspaper to find out about world events. We look at them and see them live on our devices right now. I mean, we could all get our device out, and we could find out what's happening right now with Donald Trump right now. Has he really got coronavirus? I mean, who cares, to be honest with you? I'll leave the political agendas aside. That's probably not a good place to go right now. One of the concerns around social media is it can tend to actually be the very thing that we gain our social status from. How many people are liking my posts? And we kind of cut our self-esteem around whether we're getting the right amount of likes, the right amount of views, the right amount of people looking at our story. And no longer do we actually have a communication with the person beside us. Family secret, sometimes when we can't get the kids' attention, I'll actually text them from my bedroom to the next one. I know that's not social media, but we tend to live this, separated situation where we're, you know, we're using social media to communicate, which I'm driving in the car the other day and I can see it going on. My daughter's in the front seat and one of her friends is in the back seat. They're texting one another. I'm like, guys, I know it's because they didn't want me to hear. I'm like, seriously, guys, have a conversation. Whatever you say in the car is going to be secret anyway. I'm like, whatever. Anyway, I mean, they're probably sitting there going, hashtag friends forever, hashtag bestie, you know. I'm like, whatever. Rather than actually, you know, going, rather than actually saying face to face, hey, I appreciate you. Hey, you know, I just appreciate who you are as a person. You know, we tend to do it over social media. You know, it got me thinking. The way we engage with social media has a lot of similarities in the way that we engage with Jesus. Now, I'm gonna unwrap this in a sec, but you'll see where I'm going. But for the past season, you've heard us talking about a season of wholeness. We've been talking about how the best you is a whole you, and that wholeness is not a destination, it's a journey. And what I want to talk around discipleship this morning, and the big thing about discipleship is exactly the same as wholeness. Discipleship is never a destination. Discipleship is a continuing, ongoing, ever-present journey. We never arrive at discipleship. We never arrive into, I've made it. It's all good. I'm chosen. I'm the number one disciple. It's like Peter who goes, you know, who's the best, God? Who's the best? Who's going to sit at your right hand? And Jesus is like, hey, don't worry about that stuff. You just follow me. That's really what he's talking about. And, you know, as I said, we never arrive. And I just want you to also know, too, as we unwrap this, guys, there is no judgment around whatever level, whatever layer, whatever what kind of structure we want to put to in discipleship. There is no judgment in that. Jesus just looks at you and says, hey, just spend time with me. That's what discipleship's all about. Discipleship is simply about us learning layers and layers and layers of intimacy with Jesus. That is what discipleship. And my prayer for you today is that as we unwrap this, that you'll be drawn deeper into the journey in your relationship with Jesus. My prayer is that you will, you know, just come to know the reality of who he is. That you will take a step closer. That you'll dive deeper into who he is. Does this sound good? Are we happy with that? So the title of my message this morning is this, Social Media Discipleship. A little bit weird, but you'll see where we're going. So I want to pray before we go any further. Should we do that? Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. Help me, God, to unravel your scriptures, but most of all, help me to draw each and every one of us close into your arms. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to open up in the book of Matthew today. I tend to like the book of Matthew. It's one of my favorite ones. We're talking a lot about the kingdom in the book of Matthew. And we're going to go for a little bit of a journey through some of the chapters there. And we're going to start in chapter 13. And this is actually where we come upon Jesus. He's returned to his hometown of Nazareth. He's recently been out, you know, performing miracles, teaching in the synagogues, and he comes to his hometown and he's teaching in the synagogues, and we pick it up in verse 53 of Matthew chapter 13. It says this: when Jesus finished telling these stories and illustrations, he left that part of the country. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogues, everyone was amazed and said, "Where did he get this wisdom and power to do miracles?" They scoffed. "He's just the carpenter's son. And we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. All his sisters live right here among us. Where did he learn these things?" And they were deeply offended. Everyone say offended. And refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown, among his own family." And so he only did a few miracles there because of their unbelief. When I look at this particular passage, the typology that I get from here and how we can kind of relate this, and we see this across all the synoptic gospels, or Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give an account of this particular story. And, And this is, when we look at this in social media terms, this is someone who stands at a distance, right? They're kind of just browsing. They're going through their pages and they're just skimming through as the feed comes through. They don't really step in. They kind of just sit at a distance and they just want to familiarize themselves with the content. We'll just touch on that. We're just having a little bit of a look at it. And this is the first layer that I like to call the inquirer. I'm just inquiring, just finding out a little bit of information. And researchers into social media have actually coined this the family and friends stage, which is very interesting because we're talking about Jesus's family and friends here. So you're a regular visitor of Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and other platforms, and you're very familiar with the images that you see. You see them all the time, but you haven't actually bought in yet. You haven't actually dived in and started to like their page. You haven't actually started to look in and go read a little bit deeper. You know, when the comments come up on Instagram and it says see more, you don't click on see more because I get the gist. I'm happy with that. I'm familiar with that. Isn't it interesting that the word familiar is a long version of family? You know just where to look. You know where to search. But they're kind of not part of your favorites yet. You haven't actually stepped into that zone. In fact, you rarely comment or like or emoji or hashtag or anything like that. But here's the interesting thing. You're very vocal about it off social media. It's like looking at the TV when the umpire makes a really bad call at the footy and you're the most vocal person. And when you see this stuff on social media, you're like, that guy, where did he get that power from? Oh, he's just Jesus. We know him. He's just local. He's just a carpenter. Very familiar with the surroundings. But you see, Jesus has gone viral at this point. He has absolutely gone nuts throughout society. And if we look at it in social media terms, he is the absolute flavor of the day. He's got millions of hits going on every day. But you haven't bought in yet. You're really not sure. Who is this Jesus? Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about this stuff. You even question, is Jesus real? Is he the one that, you know, they talk about? And so as a result of this, the people there actually squashed and thwarted the ability for Jesus to actually do miracles in their midst. They stopped the very hand of God moving simply because they wanted to stay back and be familiar. Just because they were just like, yeah, you know what, I'll just check you out from the side. Don't really need to dive in just yet. Yeah, I've heard about this guy. I've heard about this guy, Jesus. Actually, you know what? I seem to recall I tried it out once before. But yeah, nah. Don't think I need to go there. Can I encourage you? Let's never get familiar with Jesus. Let's never go tired of seeing what God can do in our lives. Let's never go tired of seeing what God can do in other people's lives. Let's never get caught in this whole familiarity thing where Jesus is just another famous person who gets lots of hits on social media, who gets lots of attention. Start to venture deeper. Start to go a little bit beyond just visiting and viewing his pages and his story and his Bible. And let the words start to spark something fresh and different in you. Let's never get familiar. He has so much for you. He has more beyond just browsing, just skimming through the pages of the Bible, just like, yeah, I've read John 3:16 before. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, have a loss of life. I mean, we've all heard it. But does it have significance? Does it grab a hold of you? Do you capture the words that are actually being said there? He has so much more for us. We just need to get beyond this whole inquiry stage. We just need to take a little bit of a step closer. He's calling us to go deeper. You know, we read on in chapter 14, soon after the death of John the Baptist, and we're continuing in the story, and Jesus has moved on from Nazareth because he couldn't have an impact there because they were just too familiar with him. And shortly after the death of John the Baptist, we pick it up in chapter 14, verses 13, and it says this, And soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Just a little side note there, it's quite something interesting. Have you ever noticed that when Jesus needs replenishment, what does he do? Goes off on his own, spends time with the Father. That's a freebie. You get that one for free today. All right, coming back to it. As soon as Jesus heard this news, he left the boat into a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was heading and followed on foot for many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd, and he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy food for themselves." But Jesus says, "That's not necessary. You feed them." "Yeah, but we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of leftover. That's a lot of leftovers. Fish for days. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. You see, at this stage, news about Jesus had spread. His social media platform's gone viral, and no longer can he go anywhere without a crowd thronging him, right? And he's now becoming very famous, and wherever he goes, he's attracting a crowd. And from a social perspective, we might like to call this person, the crowd, just a follower. I follow you now. I kind of trawl you on the internet. See, the follower starts to engage with the pages and the stories that they see, and they start adding emojis and comments and regularly, and they even go looking for and may even start to put this person on their favourites list. And in fact, Facebook and Instagram at this point start to watch your habits and they start sending you reminders. "Oh, have you seen Jesus' post today?" Right? And you start to get these feeds. I mean, it happens all the time on my phone. I wake up in the morning and there's all these feeds. "Oh, look, Nations Church is live right now." There's a feed from Facebook telling me that Nations... It happens all the time. They start watching your habits. This is what the follower stage is like. And, you know, it tells you about events that are near you. "Oh, you might be interested in this one." And because Jesus is kind of on your favourites list, he starts to come up a little bit more regularly. And as part of the discipleship journey, you're a follower of Jesus, but you're actually still part of the crowd, so to speak. You're regularly engaging in his stories. You're actually getting his feeds. You've signed up for, getting the daily verse coming through and things like that. But you see, your relationship with him is still a little bit reserved. You're still like, I'm a little bit hesitant. In fact, the follower is probably the kind of person that is actually like, "Yeah, look, I'll come along for the ride, but what's in it for me? Can you do a miracle for me? Can you give me something? Can you feed me?" See, the crowd is really good at gathering around and being a part of just the moment, but the difficult part for them is actually stepping in, kind of separating themselves. See, it's very easy to be part of a crowd, but it's very difficult to be an individual in a crowd. See, they kind of have this audience mentality. It's like, I'll come to the show, and I'll just, it's good, entertaining, I'm enjoying the show, this is really good. "Oh, look, there's a miracle. Cool, they're actually bringing the food out now too. Didn't see that one coming." You know, this is the follower kind of scenario. This is the layer. See, being in the crowd can actually even be good for your social standing. It makes you look good because you're in the in team. You're in part of what's going on. But the problem is the crowd can be so fickle and they seem to come and go as they please. It's about what the next trend is actually happening. They're kind of watching what's going on. You know, Jesus is really popular. He's healing the sick and casting out demons, and the crowd wants more. So much so that they actually stay well after the show's finished and they're waiting for the encore. And the encore comes. Woohoo, feeding the 5,000. But where was the crowd after the feeding actually took place? They all just went home. Where were the disciples? Around Jesus. The crowd disappears real quick. Once they get what they want, they're gone. Hashtag 5 loaves and fishes for days. I can literally imagine the crowd getting out there doing selfies going, woo, look at the food we got, you know. That's what the follower does. My social standing, I look good. See, but when it's all said and done, Jesus isn't looking for the crowd. Jesus is looking for the intimacy. He's looking for the one-on-one. He's looking for you to step in, take that deeper step. He's looking for you to not just like his page, but be on his page. Be on the same page as where he's at. He's looking for intimacy. See, Jesus is calling us to go beyond. He's drawing us to engage with him, to come closer and meet with him, not just on a screen, but meet with him face to face. Meet with him in those quiet times. He's encouraging us to go deeper, to stand out from the crowd, and even enjoy a level of intimacy as we go deeper. And this leads us to the next stage of the social media scenario. This is the one I like to call the subscriber. We all know the subscriber. See, along the journey in the social media world, we step away from just following someone and signing up and subscribing. You know, we're now at like, I'll subscribe to your YouTube channel so that I can watch even longer length movie series of who this guy is, right? And we even start purchasing, we've got the merch now, you know, Nations NYA, woo! You know, and then we start getting the daily Bible verses coming in, and then we've, you know what, I've even got the Bible app on my phone. So we're really stepping in now. We've really got it happening. And we download it, and we're kind of on this deeper path of interaction with Jesus. This is the subscriber level. See, much like the disciples who had left their old lives behind, they're actually on the road with Jesus now. They're kind of living with him. They're doing life with him. They're actually even participating in the miracles. They're actually living the life. See, in chapter 10, we see an earlier account where Jesus actually set them out. He says, I've given you authority and power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to preach the gospel. They're participating. They're actually living this life. They're in that subscription mode. They're actually diving in just that little bit deeper. I can just imagine what their stories would have looked like. Imagine the disciples who had social media back then. They're going out, they're going, preach the gospel. Ha ha, turn and burn. You know, it'd be like they pray for someone and they're, boom, boom, hashtag healing hands, shoom, it's all happening. They've got everything going on. The disciples are diving in. I mean, this was really happening. There seems to be a deeper appreciation and understanding of who Jesus is in their lives, and they seem to have it all. It seems to be going really well, a deep level of commitment and intimacy. You know, it's the same for us as a subscriber. We're spending time with Jesus. We're familiar with who he is and the work that he's doing in our lives. We're catching up on the daily feed. And we might even be at Bible college. See, life is kind of good, but then we kind of get these curveballs thrown in. See, Jesus is the master at throwing the curveball in. I love the fact that along the journey, Jesus is trying to draw us closer, and one of the ways he does is by throwing a curveball in. And something a little bit left field, right? So we have a look at Matthew chapter 14, and we continue on in the story, starting in verse 22. Through 31, it says this. Immediately after they finished feeding the 5,000, Jesus insisted that the disciples get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up onto a hill by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. Now that's left field. And when the disciples saw him on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. So this is the left field factor. See, they've walked and talked with Jesus. They've had this life where they're getting involved and carrying on. And all of a sudden, sorry, you just took it to the next level. Yeah. You're defying gravity right now. In fact, I mean, water defies gravity. You're standing on the stuff and you're walking on it. That's left field. And so they're actually even doubting at this point, is that Jesus? Is that a ghost? What's going on? But Jesus spoke to them at once. He said, don't be afraid. He said, take courage. I am he. Then Peter called out, Lord, if it's really you. He's still doubting at this point. He's still not sure. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, said Jesus. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water. Now we're into some really next level stuff. Peter's walking on the water with Jesus. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith. Jesus said, why do you doubt me? See, in the midst of their journey, when Jesus does something that we're quite not ready for, it causes us to doubt. It throws a little bit of cloud, a little bit of haze in our gaze. Is it really Jesus? Are you really who you say you are? Can I really trust you? See, Peter, even though he says, call me out there, he's still doubting when he says, if it's really you. He's not certain. And right here is the key to sustaining and pushing through in our journey in discipleship. In the same way that we tend to interact with social media by just flicking through and glancing at posts and pages rather than lingering and gazing and taking time to sit and rest and meditate in that space, we get distracted by the wind and the waves and we take our eyes off the prize. See, Peter stepped out of the boat, starts walking, and all of a sudden he realizes, no, that's not right. This shouldn't be happening. And he sees the waves and the winds, and he's like, starts sinking. He took his focus off the very thing that was drawing him, which was Jesus. He, in his example for us, we start to lose the wonder and forget what it was like just to ponder and gaze into the eyes of Jesus. We start to forget what it is to, I just need to sit at your feet. I just need to stop and pause for a moment. See, we're so quick with social media just to flick through. What's the next buzz? What's the next thing that's happening? Yeah, I'm a subscriber. I'm a follower. I'm doing all this. But have I stepped right in? Do I really trust? Do I want to sit in that moment? We start to settle for the momentary glance and we take our eyes off the prize rather than resting, reading, meditating and just being in the presence of Jesus. Just like Peter when he said to him, come. But the interesting thing in that scenario, when Jesus said to Peter, why is your faith so little? We often look at that and say he didn't have a lot of faith, didn't have enough faith. We measure it. We place a measuring stick on it. And we often take that on our own lives. When we look at circumstances, we don't see the breakthrough and we go, oh, I didn't have enough faith. Oh, you know what? I'm not good enough. I'm not deep enough in my discipleship journey. That's not what Jesus is saying when he says little in that circumstance. See, the Greek, the original version of the scripture there is oligopistos. What that word is actually saying, the context of that verse is it refers to limited or fleeting faith. I saw the prize, but it was for a fleeting moment. I didn't linger long enough in my faith to know that I could continue on in the journey. I took my eyes off the prize. My faith was fleeting, so I turned away. Yet if I'd have sustained and know that it was for more time, more moment, more meditation, more of Jesus, it extends that opportunity for faith. You've trusted me this far, but I was calling you to come further. You do have faith, but I'm calling it to deeper. I'm calling deep unto deep. A reliance upon me. You don't need to doubt anymore. I have more for you on this journey, Jesus says. He's calling us to step beyond just subscribing to his stories and his feed and to go deeper. As the worship team joins me, he's beckoning us to come closer, to take the leap, and now he's asking us to become an influencer for him. No longer are we just inquiring of those of who Jesus is. We aren't just a follower and part of the crowd. And yes, we've signed up to subscribe to all the channels and all the feeds and all the stories. But now he's calling us on as we start to build our own page and create our own channel, and we start to showcase who this Jesus is. That's the layer that Jesus is calling us to be an influencer for him. So much has his influence been on us that now I want to be the influencer for him. I can't contain this anymore, so I have to let it out. He's done so much for me. Such an impact. I'm all in. Matthew chapter 14, verse 32 says this: when they climbed back in the boat, Jesus and Peter, the wind stopped. But look at the disciples' response. This is when they realized this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. They worshipped him and they declared, "You really are the Son of God." That revelation moment comes in and they realize this is for real. It hits so hard. Yes, you're a miracle worker. I've seen you do it. You even made us miracle workers by your power. Yes, the wisdom that you have confounds those upon the earth. Yes, demons flee at your name. But now I know why. Because you're the Son of God. Now I know why. Because you've impacted my life. You've changed me from the inside out. You really are the Son of God. And they respond with worship. Because there's nothing else that we can do in that moment but worship the King. Disciples whose admiration turns to worship and devotion for the one who has changed the course of their life. By no means does this mean that we've made it. Because at any point of the journey, we can sway between all stages. Curveball comes. What happens? Not sure if I trust you, Jesus. But he teaches us through Scripture that when the curveball comes, fix your eyes on him. Out of revelation comes worship. Out of worship comes devotion. Out of devotion comes the desire to share with others the very life-changing and transformation that Jesus has done out of who he is in our life. Jesus, as he stepped out of the boat, was drawing out. Jesus, as he stepped into the boat, was drawing out the revelation of who he is and what he had come to accomplish through them. He is the Son of God sent to save the world, and today he's calling out the same in us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 says this: Jesus called out to them, "Come and follow me, and I will transform you into men who catch people for God." When Jesus called out the mission, when he first called the disciples, he told them, "Just come and follow me. Come follow me." He didn't tell them the destination, didn't tell them where they're going, didn't give them a time frame, didn't necessarily even give them a context. He just said, "Come, follow me, and I will transform you. I will change you. I will develop you. I will draw you into me. I will cause you to come closer because I have more for you." No matter where you are on the discipleship journey, the words of Jesus are the same. He says, "Come, follow me, and I will transform you. Come, follow me, I will give you life. Come, follow me, I've got all the grace for you." Ours is just to position ourselves and receive the grace that he offers. You know, the discipleship journey for you, this might be a new one. Maybe you've never actually ventured into this. I've been talking about this Jesus who transformed lives. Can I tell you? He's transformed and changed my life to no end. And I want to invite you into a place where you can have the transforming power of Jesus in your life. And if this is something that you want in on, then I would have the privilege of being able to pray with you this morning and share in the wonder of the transforming power of God in your life this morning. And so with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you this morning, you haven't bought into this. Maybe you were once in with the crowd. Maybe you were once even subscribing to Jesus. Maybe you were even an influencer for him, but you've kind of stepped away. Jesus is saying, come home. Come home. He's the Son of God, and he's got more for you. He looked through the lens of time and says, I died for you. So if that's you this morning, I would just invite you to just, on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand, and we're all going to pray together with you and believe for the life-transforming power of Jesus to change you. So if that's you this morning, on the count of three, one, two, three. Fantastic, man. So good. Bless you, brother. That's two. Is there anyone else here this morning? You want in. You want to change. You want to see God's change in your life. God has so much more for you. God is so good. He loves you so much. Is there anyone else, before we begin this prayer, you want in on this as well? Praise God. Can I invite you all to stand as we pray? I'm just going to pray. You just repeat after me, and we'll all do this together, and we'll just believe and know that at the declaration of our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you will be saved. Father, I thank you for the saving grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. Forgive me, Lord, of my sin. I turn from that life and I follow you. Not only do I follow you, but I choose to be an influencer for you. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. That is so good. God bless you. Yeah, come on, let's give those two people a hand this morning. We're going to have a brief time of worship because our time is gone, but I don't want to miss this opportunity because there's two people, two sets of groups of people that I'd love to pray for this morning as well. And you're sensing the call, the first group, you're sensing the call to step out onto the water. You don't know what it looks like. It's unknown territory for you, but Jesus is saying, come on, just trust me. I've got more for you. Trust me. Look into my eyes. Step deeper into my eyes. I've got more for you. And the second group of people is, you've done this before, but it didn't go as planned. You've stepped out before and you thought to yourself, that's not what I thought it was like. And maybe it went a little bit pear-shaped, but Jesus is saying, come on, I've got more for you. He's saying, come back, let's have another go at this, because if you do it with me, we're going to see the victory. So I'm going to invite you, as the band begins to play, those two groups of people, Don't miss this opportunity. I'd love to pray for you. Our team's here ready to pray for you and to just help you along this journey to step deeper into what God has for you, to step deeper into what Jesus is drawing out, to step deeper and to gaze into his eyes and say, Jesus, I want you more. That's what God's calling. So I invite you right now as we worship. Come. Don't miss this opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.